Well, our Sporting Moment series returns for a second week, and we're back this week with more. I have a couple of great moments coming up this week, but given the developments over the weekend, I decided to keep the soccer theme to this one, and we're going to zone in on Euro 88, the Republic of Ireland's first ever major finals. Let's hope Stephen Kenny can get us to another in the coming months.
I'm going to explain to them, I'm going to lay out the tactics and the strategy as to how they're going to win all these matches. Brian Lennon and myself.
How does he feel?
Don't be intimidated by the occasion or by the quality of their opponents. Just know, have the confidence that they have the capacity and the skills to win, and go with that spirit, and then just apply their skills.
Would you agree with that, manager?
Completely, 100%.
Galvin gets the ball, looking for Aldridge. England defence in the mess. Jarvis going for the high ball, trying to knock it down for Houtdara. Goal! Ireland have scored! Roy Houghton! Less than 6 minutes gone in the game.
And Ireland's hero of the hour, Paddy Bonner, was a pleased man when I asked him after the game about his string of marvellous saves.
A wee guy from a place down in Donegal who sent me some holy clay, and I think that might have done the trick.
The scenes at the Irish Hotel last night were incredible as family and friends of the players packed the bar for a sing-song that lasted a few hours. The players had to go to bed at midnight, but that didn't stop everyone else from continuing the celebration well into the morning.
Marvellous goal! The volley coming in there from Ronnie Whelan, just inside the penalty area. What a goal, the saver!
Next we're going to Hanover, where despite that late equalising goal by the Soviets, Irish fans made a great day and night of it.
Discussion now centering on how they can stay on if we reach the semi-finals. A few bank managers can expect a few phone calls.
The odds on Ireland winning the European Championship are now apparently reduced to 12-1, with odds of 5-1 on us reaching the final.
Following last night's draw with the Soviet Union, the Irish soccer team are now preparing for next Saturday's decisive match with Holland in the European Championship.
Good header away by McGrath. Cooman trying to volley in the first time. It's out to the ball, takes a wing of the back.
It was an unfortunate ricochet bounce, and it sneaked in past Paddy. I mean, it could have spun and gone the other way, but spun and went in and off the post, I think. I can't explain. You can't, you know, the last can only give you so much, you know. And the heat of the day has been incredibly hot out there.
Do you reckon the Dutch can go on to win it?
Wouldn't surprise me one little bit.
Magical times, Euro 88, sportingmoments@rte.ie is the email address. Get in touch with your favourite memory.
Oh my goodness, takes us all back. Well, at least those of us who remember that that wonderful summer.
Now it's time for our daily trip down memory lane and our Sporting Moments series. The 1956 All-Ireland Hurling Final between Wexford and Cork, considered to be one of the finest games of hurling ever seen. Wexford came out on top, but it was a member of the losing team that was carried off the field shoulder high at the end. Donal O'Grady, RTÉ analyst, former Cork manager, has been reflecting on this incredible moment.
Remember the time when a great star did shine, whose likes we had not seen before.
Gets it to goal for Cork, and it's scored by Christy Ring.
From there, Ring has it now on his stick. He sends it across the goal line, right out of the goal, and it's a goal for Cork.
Now it comes into Christy Ring, and Christy tussling with Billy Record, and Jim English comes in, robs both again, sends it way up.
Cork followers looking for that touch of magic from the maestro. Christy Ring has gone in full forward now.
Sends it across in the centre, Christy Ring, 21 yards out. He sends it, shot, and it's a goal! It's a goal!
Great Christy Ring.
Anytime I was practicing hurling and striking the ball against the wall, I always pretended to be Christy Ring, accompanied by me All Heroes commentary. I was bursting through and scoring as he had done.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome wherever you may be. Welcome to join us here in Croke Park, Dublin, on this All Ireland hurling final day.
Wexford dominated the first half of the 56 final, and we're going very, very well. Now Cork fought back, and they went ahead briefly in the second half to lead by a point. But Wexford hit back.
It's a shot, and it's a goal! It's a goal, it's a goal!
You could condense the game into the last few minutes. Ring, in a trademark run as he burst onto a breaking ball, struck a great shot for the corner, and Art Foley made a great save with about 3 minutes left. If Cork had scored, it would have put them a point in front.
Jerry Kelly up by the Christie Ring. Ring in front of the goal is going through. He steadies himself. He takes the shot. It's blocked by Art Foley and it's cleared out by Art Foley.
And minutes later, Foley made another good stop and struck the ball down the field, and it was transferred into Nicky Record and he buried it.
Out comes Nicky Record, 21 yards out. Take a shot. He takes a shot. It's out the goal.
Ring's chance of winning a ninth All-Ireland medal had gone.
And the referee has blown his whistle, called for the ball. And the All-Ireland champions of 1956, the All-Ireland champions of 1956 are Wexford. Yes, Wexford have won the title, and well, Croke Park has gone stark staring mad.
That game was reckoned to be one of the best ever, but it's sometimes overshadowed by what happened after the game, when Art Foley, Bobby Rackard and Nick O'Donnell shouldered Ring across the field. Ring was acknowledged as one of the greatest players ever, and maybe the Wexford players recognised that. This was his ninth All-Ireland medal chance, and Wexford had beaten them, and they just wanted to show appreciation for the man who had graced the field of play for over 20 years at that stage almost. My father would have known him well. They would have met on occasions, and they hurled together with Cork. When they met, I would always hang back as a young lad. I was really in awe of Ring. To me, I realised then what it was like to be in the prison of a guy.
And remember the great Christie Ring.
In the presence of a God, that's saying something, isn't it? More memories tomorrow.
20 to 9, I have a confession to make. I abused my position and put in a special request to Darren Farrell for today's sporting memory. It's a great one. Stay tuned for that.
I do indeed. No, you weren't alone. I'll give you that, Audrey. There was plenty of requests for this one. It is really special. Really enjoyed putting this one together. Our focus on the Clona Cyclone, Barry McGuigan, 1985, the world champion, which he won at Loftus Road. And as well as the radio offering, each day we're digging out some of the archive film too, and we're posting it on the RTE Sports social media channels. And I urge you to take a look at this one in particular, because it's quite special footage in there. You won't hear on the radio Barry being checked at a border crossing as he went about his morning jog, and also the Dublin homecoming. 400,000 people turned out to greet him, a true Irish hero that lifted the spirits of this country at a very difficult time.
Chitelli in real trouble. McGuigan piles on the pressure and it's all over. Yes, McGuigan has done it.
I'm very keen to fight for the world title, and I think that I have the ability to win it, and I'd like to prove that before I'm finished.
Remember Argentina, the World Cup in 1978? Well, they're throwing that paper confetti down from the balcony. It's an ecstatic welcome for the little man from Clonmel.
And then we found a pair of gloves one time when I was about 11. One pair, there's about 10 of us. So we all took a glove each, one glove each, and started having this boxing competition. And I was surprised that I was able to batter most of them, you know. And they were all older than me, and I thought, you know, I could be good at this.
However this fight goes, I've seen most of Barry McGuigan's fights as an amateur and a professional, Reg, and this is the fight of his life.
I remember in the seventh round, he started sort of backing me up, trying to back me up, because he couldn't stand the pressure that was putting him under, and I caught him. It stunned him, and he started falling back, and then nailed him with the left hook. It was a landmark in the fight. That was the turning point. It didn't stop him coming at me. He was still there, right up to the bell. What a fantastic fighter.
We're very near Pedrosa's corner, and I think they're absolutely resigned to it, that the championship...
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the result. A unanimous decision.
Unanimous decision.
Barry McGuigan is the new WBA world champion.
Barry McGuigan, champion of the world.
Oh, Jimmy, Jesus. A dream come true. A dream come true for me.
We'll be crushed to death here. Barry, right, Barry, sorry. Tell us something. What did you think?
Oh, I was so pleased to win it the way I did. I didn't want to just be a flash in the pan and just scrape through. And what, how many times did I put him down, Jimmy?
Oh, I lost count.
Twice.
The bell saved him several times.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
Barry, I'm so proud of you.
Oh,
well
so
done.
Proud.
And for me, the highlight probably was coming back to Dublin and Belfast. 75,000 people had gathered in Royal Avenue, And then I went home, and then 2 days later I went down to Dublin. We boarded the bus at the bottom of O'Connell Street. I'll never forget it. It was about 400,000 people came out to see me. I'll never, ever forget it. It was just incredible. It was a great time. It was a marvellous time, and I think it was probably the only positive thing in Northern Ireland during the mid-80s to cheer about, and that made it all more different when they came along to support me. The support was just incredible, passionate. Incredible support.
Wasn't that brilliant? What times they were. Barry McGuigan, our hero this morning. Keep those ideas coming into us. Sportingmoments at rte.ie is the email. Let's go back to another Monaghan native and a happy one this morning, Audrey.
No, Monaghan champion, definitely not. Barry McGuigan, a true champion. We even named our milk after him in Monaghan back in the 1980s. Darren, great to have you on and to hear that all again. Thank you very much.
Sports news? No, that was more in normal times. But we'll do our best to bring some sport to you anyway. Darren Frehel's been going through the archives to bring back some great memories, and he's got more again this morning. Pretty recent one too, Darren, isn't that right?
Absolutely, Gavin. The summer of 2018 will live long in the memory for Irish hockey. The Irish women's team went into the World Cup in London, ranked 15 out of the 16 teams competing. But what happened next would change everything for a team that had suffered so many setbacks and near misses over the years. They went all the way to the World Cup final, where they were beaten. But the defining moment came when they overcame Spain after a sudden death penalty shootout. Now, in years to come, the table quiz question is going to be, which Irish player scored twice in that one-on-one shootout? And the answer is Jill Pinder, and I've been chatting to her about what about that dramatic win.
If you look at the rankings, we were ranked 15th in the world, and there were 16 teams in the World Cup. So the prospects for us weren't great if you're basing it off a ranking system, but I suppose we were taking it game by game, and luckily for us, the results were going our way.
Ireland and Spain are locked at 1-1. And again, it's going to be a shootout.
We were confident with 1v1s. So it's kind of a balance of excitement, of realising that I'm going to have a major part to play now in the next 15 minutes as we take on Spain in the semi-final of a World Cup.
Pinder. Play on. It's in. Pinder scores for Ireland.
So I volunteered to go first, and the order just flowed then. The remaining four girls after that.
It's Garcia against McFerrin. You got that power. Sand saved again. O'Flanagan. No, she can't find a way through. Perez. And saved again. Upton. Oh, she can't find the net. Leak. Oh no. She may against McFerrin. Oh, well saved. Watkins tried to find a way through. Watkins does it. Riera against McFerrin. And it's gone in.
What happens in hockey as well is the order gets reversed. So we initially went first in our shootout, but in sudden death, Spain had gone first.
Spain go first at this point of the sudden death. Oliver, the captain, against McFerrin, and McFerrin saves it. McFerrin's made the save.
I didn't think that I'd be taking a second 1v1, but as it turns out, I was needed to take one.
Pinder against Ruiz. Pinder against Ruiz. Pinder, Pinder, Pinder! Ireland are in the World Cup final. That is incredible. And that has never, ever, ever happened anywhere else before.
There's never been so many kids wanting to play hockey, especially goalkeepers. People are following hockey a little bit more. The interest is there. We got a huge amount of coverage then when we beat Canada to qualify for the Olympics and, you know, set a record-breaking attendance at that match for women's sport. Just gone from high to high. And I'm so fortunate that I get to be a part of it.
And now they are in the final tomorrow. And anything, anything is possible.
Well, what a special bunch of ladies they are. I think there's more to come from them as well. The 2021 Olympics next summer. Looking forward to it already. Keep your moments coming to us. You can get in touch with me, sportingmoments@rte.ie. Back tomorrow, and I have a real treat. I don't want to talk this one up too much, but It's a good one. Okay, an absolute classic from the 2000s, so make sure you tune in. Well, Tony is taking over our bulletin this morning because our focus is on his famous interview with John Milan after the 2004 Munster final win against Cork. These two had some great battles back then, but this was a game for the ages. I've been getting the story behind the emotional outbreak from the man himself and the fallout. John would miss the All-Ireland semi-final through suspension.
I've been a bad boy. I've been long gone.
It's a wonderful, colourful experience here. Munster final day, Semple Stadium in Thurles.
You know, winning a Munster championship for Waterford back then, winning it for any of the counties was massive. Full house, 55,000. You know, the height of the Celtic Tiger. We ended up meeting Cork again.
3 points between them and John Milan straight away. Into the action, and he's put it over! What a start for Waterford!
And a bit of stick off the Cork supporters the previous 12 months, so I was kind of after giving them the finger salute, which I've massive regrets. And there was a bit of needle there early doors between myself and Brian Murphy. I struck out, struck him across the chin.
John Milan is after striking Brian Murphy in the face there, which looked like the handle of the hurl off the ball.
Yeah. It's red. John Milan, one of the heroes of last year, when Waterford went close, has been sent off.
Closed my eyes, looked up to heaven and said, please God, just help me, what am I after doing here?
Flynn goes for the goal, and he's got one! My goodness me! Only Paul Flynn could think of it! That is it! Waterford have won the Munster hurling final for 2004 by just a point!
Celebrations everywhere, supporters going wild. Emotionally, I was just all over the place, and then Tony O'Donoghue then happened to ask me, look, would I say a few words? And the supporters were all around me. I suppose that interview then just kind of took on a life of its own. And I suppose 16 years later, if I would have known back then what I'd known now.
They're all heroes out there, you know. Unbelievable.
You're the biggest heroes all, John, today,
unbelievable.
Mate.
I can't.
Come on, John Miller!
John, hopefully you'll be back for an All-Ireland final appearance at Waterford.
You'll be back.
We'll see what happens, you know.
You're right, you'll be back, John.
I don't know, I just... Delight for the lads today, you know, and I don't know what to say, really.
What was it like for you watching on the sideline in a game that was just topsy-turvy?
Things were just going through my head, you know, and because, like, you know, I don't want to leave the people of Waterford down, you know, because they're my life, you know. People of Waterford are my life, you know, and... I love my county, you know.
We love John Milan. Oh,
thanks for talking to us, John. Back to you, Michael.
There was an awful lot of court injunctions going around where players were after being sent off, but they were going down the court injunction route. I had the opportunity to do that. There was a businessman was willing to put 20,000-30,000 euro. You know, the old saying, you do the crime, you do the time, and it wouldn't have been right that I would have pushed on and played that All-Ireland semi-final after what I was after doing to Brian Murphy. You know, it pains me to say it. It's effectively probably one of my biggest regrets in my hurling career was getting sent off in that Munster final. And the price we paid in the aftermath, the price I paid in missing that All-Ireland semi-final.
And all the trouble that I made makes me a bad boy again.
Never, never change, John Milan. As honest and passionate as always, John Milan there. More moments next Monday.
Thanks, Darren. I love me county. The sound of the summer. God, you'd miss it. You can almost smell the freshly cut grass off that interview.
You can get in touch with me, sportingmoments@rte.ie.